God's Word for You. Today, Mark 15, verses 12 to 15. Pilate asked them, "Then what shall I do with a man you call the King of the Jews?" They shouted, "Crucify him." And Pilate said, "Why? What crime has he done?" But they shouted even louder, "Crucify him." Pilate wanted to satisfy the crowd, so he released Barabbas for them. Then he handed Jesus over for scourging and to be crucified. For the third time, in just four speeches, Pilate calls Jesus the King of the Jews. He lays this term at the feet of the Jewish priests by saying that you call him by that title. But they are blind with rage and thirsty for blood. The "they" of verse 13, "they shouted," is the combined groups of the priests and the crowd that had gathered here at dawn. They are the ones who shouted, "Crucify him." The priests agitated and stirred up the crowd. Now, should we associate this crowd with the throngs of believers who had shouted, "Hosanna," just 5 days before? It doesn't seem likely that at this hour of the morning, those pilgrims to the Feast of Passover would have been gathered in front of the Roman Praetorium. It is more probable that the crowd was made up largely of priests and temple servants, perhaps with a couple of bewildered beggars brought in for good measure. But it doesn't get past our attention that the Savior was brought into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, but he will now be driven out of the city by a band of jackasses. Caiaphas and his cronies moved here and there in the crowd, slithering like snakes among the people, leading the shouts of "Crucify! Crucify!" Theirs were the teeth and fangs used by Satan to strike at the heel of the Messiah. Just as God himself had foreseen, "You will strike his heel," Genesis 3:15. The betrayal and arrest of Jesus had taken place at midnight or later. The four, five, or six trials, however we count them, were only now coming to an end as the morning opens to its full flower. First, he had been taken to Anna after being arrested at Gethsemane. That's John 18:13 to 24. Second, Anna sent him to Caiaphas. That's John 18 and Luke 22:54 to 65. It was in the courtyard here that Peter denied Jesus as the rooster crowed and as Jesus was first beaten up. Then later in Luke 22, we find third, at daybreak, to gather some semblance of legitimacy, the Sanhedrin met quickly again. They had almost all been there with Caiaphas, but now judged him to be guilty again. Then fourth, they sent him to Pilate. Pilate had only begun to listen to the charges when he learned that Jesus was from Galilee, Herod's jurisdiction, and then sent him over to Herod, who was in Jerusalem. That's in Luke 23, 1-7. Mark doesn't mention it. This must have taken up the hour from around 6 to almost 7 in the morning. Fifth, Herod briefly questioned Jesus, and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked Jesus before they sent him back to Pilate. That's also in Luke 23, verses 8 to 11. Seems likely that Jesus did not make it back to Pilate until it was maybe approaching 8 in the morning. Sixth, now Pilate pronounced Jesus to be innocent of any crimes, but he gave in to the demands of the crowd to have him crucified. After a short time, he handed Jesus over for scourging and to be crucified. And the short trip through the streets and the act of nailing Jesus to the cross happened around 9, which is called the third hour by Mark, the third hour since daybreak. That's according to Mark 15:25. Jesus was brought like a lamb to the morning sacrifice, but his sacrifice does not continue morning by morning like the temple sacrifices did, but was made according to Hebrews chapter 10. His sacrifice was made once for all. The grammar at the end of verse 15 has given this translator some difficulty, but the reader doesn't need to be burdened too much by such things. In Mark, the term "handed over" has an important theological weight. Jesus was handed over to Pilate by the Sanhedrin, and now Jesus is handed over to be scourged, whipped by Pilate. This scourging was done by the Romans with a special whip of many strands, in which bone or metal pieces were tied together by leather thongs in a kind of grotesque chain. And this was used on the body of the man being punished. And soldiers were encouraged to use their imaginations as they used the scourge to punish the man with a maximum amount of pain. The scourging was not immediately followed by the crucifixion. In fact, we will not reach the actual crucifixion until verse 24. And in terms of these devotions, that's next week Monday. That the soldiers still had time, plenty of time, to mock him and torment him in many other ways. But by his wounds, we are healed. He allowed this punishment and torture in order to suffer in our place. This prince, brighter than snow, whiter than milk, his body more ruddy than rubies, and his appearance like sapphire, is now blacker than soot. His skin has shriveled on the bone. He cannot be recognized in the street. I'm paraphrasing Lamentations 4, 7, and 8. He took our suffering on himself, and through him we are, as Jeremiah says, disgraced. Dishonor covers our faces because strangers have come into the holy places of the house of the Lord. Jeremiah 51, 51. Those strangers beat our Lord and handed him over to death. But the death he died instead of us. And since we are united with him in his death, we are also united with him in his resurrection. This is indeed the, as Paul says in Philippians, the fellowship of his sufferings, through which we are healed and made holy to the Lord. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's word for you.